This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today I conclude my four-part sermon series for the Sundays in Advent. The series has been entitled, He's Coming. And as I said in the previous sermons, the season of Advent is about God's promise that He would come into the world to be our Savior, saving us from our own sins against Him. Now, if you recall the first sermon in this series, it had the following theme, the seed of Abraham. We heard how God promised Abraham that all nations would be blessed through his seed, meaning that one of Abraham's descendants would be the Savior of sinners that God had promised to Adam and Eve after they had rejected him. We learned that the seed of Abraham was none other than Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Two Sundays ago, we heard the second sermon in this series, and the theme was the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Now, Judah was the great-grandson of Abraham, and God revealed to Judah that the promised Savior would come from his family line. And the Savior was called a lion as a way of describing his great power and his ability to rule over his enemies. However, we also heard that Jesus is a lion like no other. You see, Jesus willingly laid down his life for us sinners who are, by nature, his enemies by virtue of our rebellion against his rule over our lives. The amazing thing is that Jesus suffered the punishment that we deserve so that we might be free to live forever as citizens of his kingdom of love and righteousness. Now, if we would have had church last Sunday, you would have heard my third sermon in this series, which had the title, The Root of Jesse. You see, just as Jesus was called the seed of Abraham, just as he was known as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Jesus was also known as the Root of Jesse. But that's a very interesting title. The Root of Jesse. You see, by calling Jesus the Root of Jesse, the scriptures actually mean that Jesse comes from Jesus and was given life by Jesus. You see, just as a root gives life and nourishment to a plant, Jesus gave life and nourishment to Jesse. Simply put, when Jesus is called the Root of Jesse, Scripture means that Jesus is God Himself, and He is the one who gives life to Jesse, in fact, to all people. However, if we would have had church last Sunday, we would have also learned that Jesus is a descendant of Jesse. For example, in Isaiah, we hear these words. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From Jesse's roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, if you look at the context, these words of Isaiah are teaching us that Jesus will be a descendant of Jesse. Now, that leads to a question. How can Jesus be both the root of Jesse and a descendant of Jesse? Well, Scripture gives us the answer. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is both Son of God and Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of God from all eternity, but He took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And by the way, Mary herself was a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, from the family line of Jesse, and Jesse just happened to be the father of King David. And today's sermon theme is the Son of David. David, the son of Jesse, was one of the greatest kings of Old Testament. Testament Israel. God promised King David that his throne would last forever. In fact, we heard about this promise in our first reading from Psalm 89. It said, "I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations." Did you hear that? This is teaching us that one of David's descendants will be a king and his reign will never end. That is why Jesus was also known as the Son of David, because he was the one from David's family line whose reign would never end. But as you know, Jesus was no ordinary man. As we've already learned, Jesus was God Himself in human flesh. Just as Jesus is the root and the offspring of Jesse, He is also the root and the offspring of David. In fact, Jesus Himself claims this. Listen to what Jesus says about Himself in Revelation chapter 22. Here's what He says. "I am the root and the offspring of David." You know, this reminds me of some words from a well-known Lenten hymn, the Lenten hymn, "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted." I'd like you to open your hymnals to hymn 451. Would you do that? Hymn 451. And there you will find the hymn, "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted." Now, what I want you to do is follow along as I read for you the words of the first stanza of hymn 451. Here they are. "Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it. 'Tis the true and faithful word." You know, sometimes those hymns give us the most purest of theology. This hymn called Jesus David's son and David's Lord. In fact, that's what Jesus is teaching us in our gospel reading for today. You see, Jesus, during his ministry, had been teaching that he was the Son of David. He was teaching that he was the Savior who was promised to come from David's family line. But Jesus was also teaching something else. He was teaching that he was the eternal Son of God, God in human flesh. And that is something the Jewish leaders simply could not accept. They could not accept that the Son of David was also their God and Savior. So what did Jesus do then? Well, Jesus used Holy Scripture to prove that David's son would also be David's Lord. You know what Jesus did? He quoted to the religious leaders the words of David from Psalm 110. You see, in Psalm 110, David is pointing ahead to the Messiah, the Savior who would come from his family line. But listen to what David says about him. He says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." After Jesus quoted this scripture, he then asked this question. David calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? And they didn't dare answer the question. You see, the only answer that does justice to the scripture is to believe that David's descendant would also be God Himself, God in human flesh. Now, at this point in the sermon, you may be wondering why all this information, this whole sermon series, why is it important for us to know this stuff? Well, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it's very important and why all this information should matter to us very much. In fact, I'll give you three reasons. First, this information reminds us that our Christian faith is based in real history, with real people, with real events that have everything to do with real life. God wants us to know this history because it is also our history of salvation. Second, during this four-part Advent sermon series, we've learned that Jesus was known by various titles. He was known as the seed of Abraham. He was known as the line of the tribe of Judah. He was known as the root of Jesse. He was known as the son of David. And all these titles for Jesus remind us that God promised to send his Savior into the world through a particular family line. And you know what? God kept that promise. And so the second thing we learn is that God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Third, this information is important because it teaches us that Jesus is not only fully human, he is also fully God. And that is why Jesus is able to save us from our sins and give us the hope of eternal life in God's love. But you know what's sad? Many today no longer believe what Scripture teaches about Jesus. Some teach that Jesus never even existed, even though there's tons of evidence to prove that he did. Others teach that Jesus was a good man, but that's it. He wasn't God. And he died, but he didn't die for our sins. No, he just died for his convictions, and he's still dead. Some teach it doesn't even matter what you believe about Jesus, as long as you're a good person. But my friends, Scripture teaches that being a Christian means believing in who Jesus is and in what he did for us. As we say in the Nicene Creed, which we confessed moments ago, we say that Jesus is God himself who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven. He was born, he lived, he died on the cross for our sins, and then he conquered death for us by his resurrection. So being a Christian means that you believe in who Jesus is and in what he did to save you from your sins. A couple weeks ago, there was a letter to the editor in the Jamestown Sun from a pastor who said that being a Christian has nothing to do with what you believe. It's only about following three simple rules. Basically, this pastor said, as long as you don't judge anybody, as long as you try to be a good person and love people, as long as you forgive as best as you can, that's all it means to be a Christian. Now, certainly Christians should strive to do those things. I'm not arguing that. But my friends, good works by themselves are worth absolutely nothing if we do not acknowledge our many sins and trust in Jesus, who is the Son of God, who died on the cross in our place of damnation. Sadly, there are unbelievers who do lots of good works, and therefore they think that they have no need for a Savior. They have been deceived by the devil, unfortunately. You see, the truth is that being a Christian has everything to do with what you believe. For example, just look at our second reading from Acts chapter 13. Take a look at that in your bulletin. Here are some people who need to hear what it means for them to be Christians. And what does Paul say? Does he say, hey guys, you know, it doesn't really matter what you believe. Just love others. Don't judge people, and forgive as best as you can. That's all there is to it. Just follow those three simple rules, and God will be pleased with you. Is that what Paul says? No. Instead, the Apostle Paul gives a sermon that recounts the history of God's plan of salvation found in the Old Testament. all begins with the Exodus from Egypt and then leads them all the way up to King David. And then Paul said, from this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised. So just like our sermon series, Paul shows how Jesus came into the world through a particular family line. Now, after Paul says this, he then talks about Jesus' death and resurrection for us, and how the Old Testament pointed ahead to those saving acts of Jesus. Paul then ends his sermon with these words, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Now, if being a Christian is only about obeying a few simple commandments, then I'm afraid that all the teaching of Scripture in Christ's death and resurrection is meaningless. I mean, Jesus could have simply come down and said, here's three rules, goodbye, and go back to heaven, but that's not what happened. As the Creed says, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and he went to the cross with our sins, and he conquered death by his resurrection. So if being a Christian is only about doing a few good works, then we might as well close down our churches and all join the Rotary Club. But we're not going to close down this church, because through faith in Jesus, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham and Judah and Jesse and David and the first Christians. We are one with all believers who repent of their sins and also trust in Jesus as their Savior. The Son of God, the seed of Abraham, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, the son of David. In fact, this same Jesus claimed you as his own in the waters of holy baptism. This same Jesus uses Holy Scripture today to teach you his word so that you can believe what he wants you to believe and so that you can live in the way he wants you to live. This same Jesus also comes to us today in this Holy Supper where he gives us the very body and blood that he gave and shed for our salvation. In a few days, we will celebrate Christmas. We will celebrate the fact that God kept his promise when his son was born of the Virgin Mary to save his people from their sins. Christmas is a time for us to thank God for the gift of his son, through whom we have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life in God's love. And yes, we strive to do good works to God's glory, but we do this because we believe in his Son as our Lord and Savior from sin, death, and hell. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.